Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing the tight end survivor series. And this is, there wasn't a ton of risk. It's kind of like wide receiver, where there wasn't a ton of people that were really at risk, I didn't think, because it just the class wasn't that great. But there were some situations that I thought, and maybe they still exist, I wouldn't rule out some of these that were maybe trade candidates. And so I've thought for a while that maybe Evan Ingram gets traded, that maybe David Njoku gets traded, maybe Zach Ertz gets traded. It looks like Zach Ertz is probably going to be a post June 1 cut. So that's something I think we can sort of be on the watch for in terms of how this all unfolds. But Dawson Knox, I think, is a survivor up in Buffalo. It's an interesting career arc, because I could in one breath say it's been disappointing. It was disappointing at the beginning of 2019, better at the end of 2019. Inefficient largely, and I've done some yards per route run analysis. Again, it's not huge sample size, but basically if you don't jump out in terms of being really effective from a rookie perspective, your ceiling's not that high. And so I think that might be just a general rule of thumb that we use for some of these guys. Cole Kmet, looking at you. And so he's kind of fit that. And so that's cautionary in how much volume, all that stuff. Again, if it's going to be a passing offense, I do think he offers a little bit something that they don't necessarily have. It's a bigger body. He can do a little something after the catch. Be interested to see. Are they in on one of these guys? Are they in on Njoku, in on Ingram, in on Ertz? They kicked the tires on Gronkowski early in the offseason, so I don't think that this is a situation where they're necessarily done, but he still slots in. Gesicki's one that, hey, Kyle Pitts was right in the zone. And Gesicki, they do draft Hunter Long, but I think Gesicki, off two starter seasons the past 2 years, has been, after a pretty dismal start, been pretty good. So that's a situation where I'm looking for a contract extension. I need to see them pay up for him, and then I'll feel a little bit better. But he's sitting here basically entering year four without an extension. We'll have to watch for that. Chris Herndon, it's going to be the annual Chris Herndon show with the potential uptick in value. Oh, he's going to be a huge target guy. I'll believe it when I see it at this point. Drew Sample's one that actually survived. They have done essentially nothing on the back end of the roster to really threaten him. CJ Uzama still there, but we're not in on Pitts. Pitts wasn't available to them. And they have, obviously, they bring in Ja'Marr Chase. Is it a huge upside situation? No. But if you're playing, you know, two tight end or one of these deeper formats, I think he's a name that, it's interesting just because from a snap share perspective, I think he could be interesting. Entering year three, again, it's been largely inefficient, but could you see a jump here with some improved offense? I wouldn't entirely rule it out, and he's locked in. Again, he's going very cheap. So, and no one has ever really respected him, I guess what happens when people feel like you're overdrafted, but tight end 48. I mean, he's going behind Ian Thomas, and we've seen that. We've seen how that went. So he's a trending negative, but an incomplete at this point. Ebron, it's a one-year deal essentially for him at this point. They bring in Freiermuth. It's probably not a huge hemorrhaging of value this year. Could Freiermuth basically come in and get 40 targets, something like that? I don't necessarily think that takes a ton of a huge chunk out of Ebron. And so that's basically it. So that's it for Ebron there. I think maybe the biggest name is Anthony Firkser. Now, I know people are going to get on me and be like, Jordan, like the Anthony Firkser thing. The yards per route run were at an elite level last year. And when you get efficiency in small samples, it wasn't an incredibly small sample. Like it wasn't, he didn't run a ton of routes, but he ran enough that you sort of look and you say, huh, they haven't done anything to address the position. Is this a landing spot for Zach Ertz? I saw it speculated on today. Wouldn't shock. But Ferguson might offer more at this point than Ertz does. So he's one that he's been out there in rookie drafts as a free agent where you can get free agents in rookie drafts. I've been on that. I'm trying to add him in the back end of deals. Going to be aggressive in terms of adding him as a free agent in some of these tight end premium leagues. I think that's all stuff that, listen, I think it's, they're going to have to throw the ball to somebody. They just can't pump. They might try. I don't think they can pump 300 targets to A.J. Brown. So they're going to have to do something. Ferkser's the most proven guy outside of A.J. Brown. I might say something about their team building, but it's not that, I'm not a moralist in terms of how I do these things. If he's going to be getting targets and he's going to be effective on them, which he was last year, I think it's interesting. Tight end 30. When you sort of look at the guys going around him, it's Gronkowski, OJ Howard range, Chris Herndon range, Tommy Tremble's going a little bit later than him. We'll see how that adjusts post draft. Harrison Bryant, Dawson Knox is in that range as well. So, to quote Queen, ain't no beauty queens in this locality. I think Ferkser's interesting there, for sure. Outside of that, no real big things. Jared Cook, I guess, but it's kind of a year-to-year thing with him. They bring in Trey McKitty. I don't think anyone's going to be a threat. I will say that the veteran tight end rule continues, Jared Cook being the guy. If you have a guy who's been productive, who's going to see snaps, and you don't really, this isn't a Jason Witten to the Raiders situation, they're typically pretty productive. That is a trend that you get guys on the density track. They've got good density. And even though they're getting into their mid-30s and maybe they bounce around a little bit, like they still continue to hold up. Is he got top three tight end upside? Probably not. But if he posts a top 10 season, would it shock me? Not in the least. So no trade for Ingram. I guess he survives. They don't really take any pedigree. They have Kyle Rudolph. I don't really know what the situation. A fresh start would probably be helpful for him. He's coming up on extension time as well. I suspect that they're going to let him walk. I think it would be really interesting to see him go to free agency and kind of get to pick where he wants to go and get a really interesting, compelling offensive coordinator to use him. And man, he would look really, really good. He wouldn't even need to change colors all that much and actually could represent the state of New York by going up to Buffalo. So Buffalo front office, let's make this happen. Logan Thomas survives. They bring in John Bates round 4, but Thomas survives. Again, it wasn't look like a huge threat here. Maybe I thought Freiermuth was a possibility, but he's going to come in and probably run a whole bunch of routes again. And it might be ugly, but he runs a whole bunch of routes and can produce a tight end one finish again. Wouldn't shock. Jimmy Graham hasn't been cut yet. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. So we'll still hold out a little bit of hope for him. Again, the veteran tight end rule applies. We'll see how much snaps he gets. That's sort of it's a two-prong thing. Really effective tight end play throughout your career in your 30s, plus opportunity for snap shares. I don't think they have a ton of weapons outside of Allen Robinson. So I think Graham, they managed to sink themselves into this contract situation with Jimmy Graham. He's one that, for a one-year fill-in type situation, we've got him in a two tight end league. He's going 48th at the position outside the 25th round of startup drafts. All right, we'll see if we can squeeze another 80 targets out of him and see what happens. No threat to Tanyan. That's, again, we'll see what happens with Rodgers. The leak fest there, it's like a broken pipe festival up in Green Bay. I don't know. It's like they left the doors open, turned the heat off in the middle of January, and just everything's leaking everywhere. That's kind of what's going on in Green Bay with this whole Rodgers situation. Hayden Hurst is a big loser from this whole situation. This is a little bit far from the the specifics of this show, but they don't pick up his fifth year option either. And he was the former regime's guy. I'd be interested to see, maybe he's on the trade block. That's another one that I didn't mention, that he's could potentially be a trade candidate, and kind of fits a little bit what Pitts does. So I don't know what they can do. You know, they need some cap relief, all that stuff. I don't know if they can move him and how that whole situation works out. But he's one that I could see them potentially saying, we've got Lee Smith as a backup. He sort of operates as the inline guy. We can move Pitts around. Wouldn't shock me to see Hayden Hurst playing the 2021 season somewhere else. Dan Arnold's still interesting in Carolina a little bit. Tommy Tremble's there. I don't think the situation's all that compelling. Adam Trautman survives, so we'll see. You know, he's on the developmental track. We'll see where that takes him. And, you know, Max Williams. Arizona doesn't use tight ends, so anyone mocking Pitts to there just didn't make a ton of sense to me. I think maybe the other biggest winner in this whole thing is Tyler Higbee. So he's without Gerald Everett. They bring in Jacob Harris on day three, but no real threat to Tyler Higbee on the tight end roster. I've added him sneakily in some deals, whether it's moving around the board. I did a couple of trade downs and got him for basically like a third round rookie pick equivalency. And we'll see. I think, you know, it wouldn't shock me to see 80, 90, 100 targets somewhere in that range for him. And so that's the situation there with him. Seattle, Gerald Everett's there. We'll sort of see. It's a muddled situation. I think Gerald Everett as a discount Jonnu Smith is a really interesting thing. They basically both have a career high 41 receptions. And, you know, from a, like, Jonnu Smith hasn't been notably better at anything than Gerald Everett has, yet they're trading at massively different prices. So it's an interesting bet on essentially a developmental tight end profile, landing on a second deal someplace. That's one where I could say, just give me Gerald Everett for a lot cheaper of a price. And he's got a better quarterback and probably a better situation ultimately of an upside shot, because Hunter Henry's not going anywhere. They just signed him. And Jonnu Smith's kind of attached to the hip with Hunter Henry. So that's pretty much the rundown of the tight end position. Again, this is just survivors. I don't need to go back and do a full tight end recap right now. We can do that at some point here in the upcoming stuff. We'll go through and sort of talk about each position. Probably I'll, you know, whether I do it by team or maybe I do it by division, something like that. I have to figure out exactly how I'm going to do that for the off season here, previewing the 2021 season. I figure I could do a little bit more in-depth rundown on some of these guys. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Till next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.